From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Welcome back to our special Pledge Drive episode. Back in June, when images of tent encampments on the U.S.-Mexico border and children being taken from their mothers and fathers were everywhere, we wanted to find someone who could tell us how those separated kids were doing. Not all children taken from their parents were being put in shelters and treatment centers. Some of them were taken in by foster parents. Many were toddlers. And like any kid, they got sick and needed to see a doctor.
So I wound up seeing three kids who were brought in by their foster families. They came in really for very mild childhood illnesses, vomiting, dehydration, rashes, colds, those kinds of things.
That's Tara Newbrand, a pediatric ER doctor in Denver. She says it's not unusual to see foster kids in the hospital. Most of them don't have regular pediatricians. But it wasn't long before she noticed something deeper going on. She learned from the foster mothers that these toddlers had been taken by immigration officials from their biological parents.
Yeah, so in all these cases, when I was trying to examine the kid, I put my hands on their back, rubbed their back. No hay nada, no voy a hacer nada, todo está bien. And, you know, oftentimes the kids will turn around and look at me and smile or relax a little bit. That just wasn't happening. They just didn't have any interest in anything I said to them in whatever language it was. They were sitting in their foster mother's laps, all of them. They had their chests on their foster mother's chests, and they had their arms just wrapped so tightly around their foster mother's necks that they just could not be separated from those women. It was so striking, it was so different, that I asked these families if this was normal, if this was different behavior, if they were doing this at home, you know, what was going on. And in all three cases, they absolutely could not be put down by their foster mothers. They had to be held all the time in physical contact all the time. And that's not normal.
Can you describe them individually for me?
The first one I saw was a little boy between 1 and 2. His foster mother told me that he was from Guatemala. He was a tiny little thing, you know, with brown hair, just a really sweet looking kid. He's just one I remember really well because when I was asking the foster mom what was going on and if he was acting this way at home, she got really teary-eyed talking to me, and she just kept repeating over and over, "I'm just trying not to ruin his life. I'm just trying not to ruin his life." I mean, this kid would yell out, "Papa, papa, papa," all the time, and she couldn't help him. She didn't know where his papa was. She didn't know if this kid had any siblings or if he would be reunited with his father or when he would see him again or when he might communicate with him. She didn't know anything.
So how did they communicate?
None of the foster family spoke Spanish. That was hard on them as well, because they were trying to comfort the kids and just weren't really able to do so.
Just to be clear, we're talking about toddlers that have been taken from their parents and they're being placed in homes with foster families that don't speak the same language as they do?
Right. That is correct. Yes. The foster mothers that I interacted with did not speak Spanish. I remember the first one I saw when she was hugging the little boy. She'd hug him and say, "Mijo, mijo," because she knew that that's an affectionate term in Spanish. But that's pretty much it. I mean, she couldn't communicate in any kind of reliable way in Spanish.
What about the other two?
Yeah, so the third kid that I saw was a little girl from Guatemala. She was really withdrawn. And when I asked her foster mom if she was acting like this at home, she asked me if I had any suggestions about how she could bathe her. This little girl would scream and cry every time this mom tried to put her down, and so she couldn't put her down even in the bathtub.
Were you able to help them at all? as far as their mental and emotional state?
Not really. I mean, not really. I was pretty useless. It was pretty awful. There was really nothing I could do to help these kids. I mean, I could treat their vomiting, I could treat their rash, right? But that wasn't their problem.
What was their problem?
Their problem was that they missed their parents and that they weren't with their parents.
As hard as seeing that is, do you think that those children are actually the lucky ones because they're with a foster family opposed to being in these detention centers?
I think the argument is they're the lucky ones. And I get that argument, but it just isn't enough, you know? It's not enough to take care of the body of a kid without taking care of their heart and their brain.
Dr. Newbrand, thank you so much for talking to us.
I appreciate you guys getting the story out.
Tara Newbrand is an emergency room pediatrician in Denver, Colorado. Most families separated at the border have been reunited, leaving several hundred children still in custody. Now, despite that, the overall number of migrant kids held in detention has shot up to a record high, more than 12,500. Most of them crossed the border alone without their parents. Public radio is the only place that you can hear stories like this, where we push past the politics and the posturing and talking heads arguing with each other and get down to the core of the matter. We do these amazing one-on-one interviews with people that really expand your knowledge of the world. And if you'd like to support stories like these, then please support this public radio station. Here's how.